Cool. You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. This is Features Editor John Gentile. I'm also here with Features Editor slash News Editor Sammy B. Sammy B, what's happening? What's going on?
Hey John, I heard aliens are coming again, and I'm really pissed off at Ticketmaster.
Oh my God, we are going to talk about Ticketmaster tonight. Oh my God, don't even get me. Well, we won't get started. I hate Ticketmaster. Listen, we got a pretty jam-packed show tonight. We might have a guest dropping in, and we might not. I'm not going to name him because if he doesn't drop in, I don't want to make him look bad. But if he does drop in, then we'll have a cool guest dropping in, mayhaps tonight. But on tonight's show, we're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff. Here's some of the cool stuff that we're going to talk about, and then Sam's got to going to talk about one of her adventures that she had, and then we will kind of get started here. I saw a show this past week. I'm trying to think what show it was. It was notable, but what show? Oh, I saw the Slackers, Sam. I saw the
Wait, hold on.
Slackers.
It was notable, but you couldn't remember?
It was actually two shows. First of all, I saw the new Joe Lally band. It's not even a band. He refused to identify if it's a band or a project. In true Discord slash Joe Lally fashion, he wouldn't say if it was a band or a collab. Anyways, Joe Lally's got something going on with Yanni from Stinking Lizaveta, which is an instrumental band, which I don't know a whole lot about, but apparently it's actually kind of big and a lot of people love, and the drummer of Hot Snakes. And I saw
Ooh.
them, and honestly, I thought it was like it was kind of advertised as a night of improv avant-garde music. I'm like, oh, great,
That sounds
but actually, Sam, it was kind of awesome. Like basically, Joe Lally and the drummer from Hot Snakes, whose name is Justin. They basically play Gang of Four music, and then Yanni from Stinking Lizaveta basically jams like Eddie Hazel of Funkadelic. And honestly, it was like awesome. It was like really cool.
I
It just
love hot snakes, so this is great.
you actually might dig it, Sam. It's instrumental, which I don't love instrumental music, but I did dig it, and I thought it was real cool and very captivating. What I will say, I wasn't going to say about that. I was going to say something real quick, but I can't remember what it was. What was I going to say about that show? Anyway, oh, so. The it's amazing how big fame is and how powerful it is. Fugazi, very well-known band, compared to Sabrina Carpenter, compared to Taylor Swift, not even a drop in the sand of the beach. You know what I mean? However, Sam, I posted one little video, not a video, a picture on our Instagram. Over 1,000 likes. A normal Punk News Instagram will get like 50 likes. We're up to like 1,400 likes just because it's not even a good picture. Just because it's Joe Lally Fugazi, it like exploded. Which I've been complaining about a couple other websites where they'll be like, here's a picture of Kurt Cobain, and it gets like 10 million likes. Who likes NOFX? And it gets like 10 million likes. And that annoys me because that's not news. That's just regurgitated garbage. But I can understand why they do it because I mean, just one picture of Joe of Fugazi. Like was like a big deal, so that was kind of surprising. Second show I saw was Slackers. Of course, Aura and Jay of Slackers are playing Punk New Summer 29, which is a all class tribute with Kepi Ghulie and Dambert of Chumbawamba. And the Slack and Sam, the Slackers are so good. I mean, they are just always on fire. They're always doing their kind of soul meets rock steady meets ska thing. I got the new EP, which I believe is called "The Money Is King." Super good. Also, there a band that opened was called Lady Hatchet. Is that her name? She used to be in a band called the Scotch Bonnets that I saw a couple of times, who were pretty cool. Lady Hatchet is kind of the sequel band. It's basically like four or three young women doing throwback ska, and it's super good and super catchy, and people should check it on out. It's real good. And so yeah, so that was my weekend. Sam, you went to see Harambe this weekend. How'd that go?
I didn't. Well, I so on Friday I went to go see Chris Wren because Chris Wren, the guy at B9 Records, we had him on the podcast. We had an interview of him. He has a book out, Fenway Punks. I actually got my copy finally, and he signed it in a lovely Chris Wren signature, and had a little talk about it. It was kind of cool because it was at Generation Records. A very notable hardcore punk record store in New York City. John, I think you've been there before.
I've been to Generation Records. I like Generation Records a lot, except I only have, and
Ooh.
actually, even though New York is very expensive, New York records, like New York Dolls or Wu-Tang records, and those like cheap there because there's so many of them in New York City. Very cool record store. I have one complaint about that store.
What is the complaint?
They had a Boogie Down Productions LP for $10, Criminal Minded, their first LP. I'm like, wow, so cool. I was this close to buying it, Sam, this close. And I said, I better check it out. It was cracked all the way through. So, like, they were, I think, like if a record's cracked all the way through, fine, throw it in the dollar bin, the $2 bin, but it shouldn't be on the regular shelf. And I noticed they will have cheap records, but they're nearly unplayable records on the normal record shelf, which really that should be the dollar bin if the record is unplayable. That's my only critique, but I do like Generation Records. I've been there many times. And Sam, I saw Descadena between the time that Flag formed and Black Flag reformed. But I believe before they played their first concerts, I saw at Generation Records Descadena do not an all Black Flag set, but a mostly Black Flag set and some Misfits and some other stuff. And it was pretty cool. No, it wasn't. No, I'm wrong. He did a spoken word at Generation Records and played some songs. And then at night at the Bowery Electric, he did that set, which was very cool. And you can see Des do all Black Flag in Philadelphia on
Ooh.
May 16th. Go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry for stealing your
Oh
story.
yeah. I hear a shameless plug there, John. But yeah, so basically there was a little talk with Drew Stone. He's of the New York Hardcore Chronicles. Also he's in a band. Oh my God, I forgot the band right now. Incendiary Device. There you go. He was kind of like emceeing the night. It was a very lovely conversation that was had, and a lovely signing. So I was really happy about that. So Saturday, oh my God, was that a hot damn mess? So I had tickets to go see Hanabe, Japanese Harajuku core band from Tokyo,
What does
Japan.
Harajuku core mean, Sam?
Well, they're kind of like cute metal. They're, they dress really cute, and there's a lot of screaming and singing. And so I think they just made Harajuku core a word for themselves to describe themselves, which I think is very appropriate for the fact that they're really adorable.
Speaking of
However,
Harajuku, I'll be seeing No Doubt this summer instead of Punk Rock Bowling. I know Sam hates No Doubt, but I'm still going. I don't care.
actually, I don't hate No Doubt.
Or, oh, you just hate Gwen?
I just have an issue with Gwen and her identity. But No Doubt is, the music, the early music is cool, so I get it. If I've actually seen Gwen, solo, as Gwen, so it's
Was that the period where she was doing just Gwen or Gwen and No Doubt solo?
She was billed as Gwen, but she was doing Gwen songs and No Doubt songs, and she actually had Eve
Ah,
open, so it was like that bill, and
that's
that
cool.
was actually a free concert for me because of a lovely Live Nation settlement
Oh,
that
that's a
was
pretty good
had a
cash-in.
long time ago.
Sam, we're having so many tie-ins to our conversation here.
I know, it's
Last
weird.
question about Glenn, and then I will let you continue uninterrupted, I promise. How was No Doubt Less, No Doubt? How was Gwen doing No Doubt solo? How did that sound?
It was fine, she still has, a band of some sorts doing it. I personally, it was around the time where I wasn't like really checking the internet, so I was like completely surprised with set lists and stuff like that. So I wasn't expecting it. So it was like a great throw in, and it was only like maybe two songs that she did that was No Doubt. Everything else was like Gwen stuff. But again, because it was a settlement thing and I got these tickets for free or really cheap, I was like, why not, go see it in a little amphitheater in Jones Beach, Long Island. Because I have to get rid of these things or this giant company will eat up all my money, things. But yeah, I have a I do like one. I don't hate her per se, like you think, John. But I will not
A
be
lot of people.
shelling out money to go to Vegas to see her.
Well, I am. A lot of people hate her now because like she's like mad religious right now, and people think that's like sketchy. So, anyways, I'm sorry. Let's talk about not Gwen stuff. Let's talk about the original Harajuku girls, Hanabe.
Yeah. Well, basically, what I got Hanabe tickets because I love Hanabe and I wanted to see them because they apparently put on a great show. However, I, of course, timed out going to see them because I was not into the openers. They had some like metal goblins.
Oh, was it Necrogoblicon? Is that who it was?
Yes, that's who opened. And there was another band that opened that I can't remember. But I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll get there around like 8 o'clock, 8:30. Doors were at like 6. The first band was supposed to be out at 7. You know, being a true New York, I don't want to be there when, doors open stuff. So I get there at 8:30. And there was a line around the block to get in, which was weird because I was like, oh, doors have been open already. Why is there a line around the block? So, Chris kicks me out of the car and says, go investigate. He goes and parks the car. I get in, I look at the door and I go, oh, this is actually the line. So I'm walking, walking, walking to the back of the line. And I'm standing there and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Because the two people in front of me and the guy in front of them, we were all like confuzzled about what was happening. We're like, what is going on? We were all in the same boat of being New Yorkers that did not want to see the openers, by the way. So we came just in time to try to get in to see a little bit of something and then Hanabe. Apparently, I get my wrist, well, my ID checked to get a wristband, got my wristband, and I was asking the lady because she had a call sheet, what time is Hanabi going on? Because I also heard that the first band just went on at 8:30. So I was like, what is going on? So we're waiting. Chris meets me online. Chris then goes, there's a lot of people that looks like they should be at this show walking away from the show. What is going on?
Oh no.
Yeah. We were having flashbacks of the original At the Drive-In reunion because they literally canceled their performance as the first their opener was going on. And that happened a million years ago for me. So I was like, oh, this doesn't feel good. Then someone somewhere in at the venue started screaming, Hanabi's not playing tonight. If you want
Oh.
your money back, don't get your tickets scanned. I go, what the hell? Turned
Yeah.
around. Went to the car and sat in the car as I, Sam Brain, goes on X and Reddit to try to find information. There was no information for a half an hour after that. Apparently, at some point, someone on the internet, thank you, internet, for crowdsourcing information for me. Someone was at the, because these bands, they have a meet and greets.
Yeah.
Apparently, someone was at the meet and greet, and at the end of the meet and greet, the Hanabe announced that they're not performing that night.
Did they
Which
say
then,
why?
so the singer, she apparently her throat was not well, and she needs to scream, so it was probably not good. However, the band didn't say anything at all on Instagram, on any social media that they dropped off. The venue didn't say anything until someone screamed it and whatever. And then I get this like weird Reddit post that happened, and I was like, oh, let's go home now. because I was like, I guess this is enough. By the way, I had to contact Ticketmaster to get my money back because guess what? They were not going to give us our money back if I guess we didn't contact them.
Yeah, Ticketmaster is the worst. Ticketmaster is the absolute
Yeah.
worst.
I was kind of hoping that so I saw at 10:30, remember I asked someone that had the call sheet what time Hanabe was going on. At 10:30 at night, Hanabe went on to their Instagram X account and all that and say that they were not playing tonight. I was like, from the time of a meet and greet, which generally, what is that, like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, that starts.
Yeah.
It usually concludes around 6 because that's usually when doors are right. From 6 o'clock to 10:30, there was no official statement that they were not playing.
I get maybe they wanted to make the meet and greet money, or maybe they wanted to see if the one young lady's voice was going to improve.
John, that's
Yeah.
wishful thinking that her voice was going to improve.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was kind of pissed, and then apparently there was no communication to said anyone to give me my money back because I went home because I was like, I bought tickets to go see the headliner. What the hell? I partially blame Brooklyn Bowl, the venue, because they should have handled this better. I'm not sure if anyone that had tickets that was in the same boat actually got tickets. I went because I am Sam and crazy, went and contacted Ticketmaster and sent evidence that it was not happening for me. The other thing was Knuckle Goblin did play. And the opener did play, so it's not like the entire event was canceled. So they were clearly trying to keep money.
Yeah, the reason Ticketmaster did that was to make it harder for you to fight to get your money. Like
Exactly.
I had tickets for a show down in Atlantic City. Like they do it every year. They call it the I'm sorry, Sam, was your story done or not? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm done. I'm
So
pissed.
yeah, well, listen, actually, I'll talk about this and then we'll jump right into the Ticketmaster bullshit. Ticketmaster is bullshit, man. I had tickets to go see Kara. It was like it's called like the All Stars of Hip Hop or whatever. Every year in Atlantic City, there's a pretty big hip hop show in Atlantic City. It's on Martin Luther King Day weekend, and it's like it's you know a bunch of golden era hip hop guys. This year it was KRS-One, Public Enemy, Big Daddy Kane, maybe Salt and Pepper, and a whole bunch of other people. But my pal and I were going to go for KRS-One. It was like a $150 ticket, which anymore is not crazy expensive, but that's not cheap either. Well, for whatever reason, like 4 days before the show, KRS-One, the headliner, was removed from the bill. So my friend and I, as much as we like Public Enemy, we didn't want to drive all the way to Atlantic City to see Public Enemy, especially since I'm annoyed at Chuck D. So I filed. I'm like, well, listen, your headliner dropped out, so just refund my money. I don't care, Sam. I had to fight tooth and oh, but also they won't let you resell the ticket online, which I'm learning with the No Doubt ticket. I bought two No Doubt tickets, one on like a Wednesday and one on a Saturday. Because at the time I was going to see what was going on with Punk Rock Bowling, and I figured I'll sell the one I don't use. But for whatever reason, I take a message. Oh, well, you can't sell No Doubt tickets. You know, it's like maddening. So we couldn't sell the hip hop tickets either. So
Wait,
I
hold
had to.
on. You couldn't even sell it on their own resellers?
I can sell it on StubHub, but I can't sell it on the Ticketmaster reseller because
What?
they've designated that as a show where individuals are not allowed to resell, only they're allowed to resell. And the reason
Ugh.
for that is because I guess they didn't sell as many tickets that they were hoping they would sell. So no matter what, they always win. You know what I mean? Like no matter what. So anyways,
Isn't that
right. So
a
anyways,
monopoly?
so I said with Ticketmaster, I'm like, and I call Ticketmaster. You can't talk to Ticketmaster. You can only talk
No.
to their bot. So
Yep.
I fought with the bot. What with the bot? I said I want a refund, and the bot's like, why? I'm like, because your
Yep.
headliner pulled out, and they're like, sorry, this promoter hasn't authorized refunds. And
Yep.
I'm like, speak to person, speak to person. So I finally broke through to a person. And they're like, sorry, the promoter hasn't authorized refunds. I'm like, well, I'm not dealing with the promoter. I bought the tickets through you.
Yep.
Maybe you can sue the promoter, but you're dealing with me. They're like, well, you know, the promoter hasn't authorized refunds. I'm like, well, you sold me a service, and then you've
Product, a
substantially
product.
you've changed the service substantially. So give me my money back. They're like, well, it's for an event, not for an individual performance. I'm like, so you mean to tell me that if I bought tickets to see the Rolling Stones and like Hootie the Blowfish and the Rolling Stones dropped out, you'd make me spend $500 for Hootie the Blowfish? You
Yep.
know, and so they're like, well, I'm gonna put in a request for you. I'm like, this is game over, man. I'm like, you know, and I was just gonna eat it, frankly. But out of the blue, I got an email. They're like, we're refunding your tickets. I guess because they knew that if I sued them, I would have won. I did threaten to sue them, even though I wasn't going to. And I guess because I threatened to sue them, they real. It was so annoying that like Ticketmaster always wants the benefit when it goes their way, but when they're not responsible when it doesn't go their way. They're like, "Well, you have to talk to the promoter." I'm like, "I don't have a contract with the promoter. I have a contract with you. You
Yeah.
have a contract with the promoter. Maybe you've got a problem with them, but I that's got nothing to do with me, you know." So anyway, Ticketmaster is the worst. Let's talk about Ticketmaster, Sam. I hate
Well,
Ticketmaster.
John, they also want you to spend money for insurance so that you can get rid of it with stipulations.
Just so you know, Sam, that insurance thing is a waste of money.
I know
Basically,
that.
all that, and so the listeners should know this. I think most people know this, but there's this, you can buy like ticket insurance, and it's not even that cheap now. It's like $25 a
Nope.
ticket or something. And the way it looks at face, oh, if you can't make it, you get your money back. That is not how it works at
Nope.
all.
Stipulations.
What it really is if you get deathly ill. And if you get a doctor to write a note for you that says you were deathly ill, you get a portion of your money back.
Yep.
Or, I think that's about it, really. I was gonna say, or if your flight gets canceled, but I think that's not even covered anymore. It's total bullshit. Don't ever get the ticket insurance. It's bullshit. Anyway,
Just
Ticketmaster.
sell it on StubHub.
Yeah, that has never once worked in my benefit for me. I've never made money off StubHub ever. I thought with no doubt I'd be like doubling my money. I'm gonna take a bath on no doubt. Oof. Just like No Doubt took a bath on the cover of their single Bathwater, Sam. Let's talk about Live Nation. Sam, do you think it was awkward? So on the cover of Bathwater, the whole album of Return of Saturn, it's about the breakup and rather the fallout of the breakup from Gwen and Tony Kanal's relationship. Tragic Kingdom is about the breakup. And there it actually talks about her meeting Gavin Rosdale. On the single cover, Sam, the four of No Doubts are in a bathtub, and Gwen is directly adjacent to Tony Kanal in the bathtub. Is that awkward?
Yeah,
Hmm.
very. Yeah.
So, anyways, well, speaking of Live Nation, so the speaking of Live Nation, No Doubt, that's what we're talking about tonight. Deal with it. If the people only knew who the guest was supposed to be, the conversation will be totally different tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I'm gonna stop teasing them. Anyways. The Justice Department last year sued Live Nation for being a monopoly. And of course, Live Nation owns, Sam, how many venues does Live Nation own in America?
Pretty much 85% of the venues.
460 venues, 78 of which are amphitheater. In Philadelphia alone, Sam, Live Nation owns every venue above like 150 people. Like
That
literally.
makes sense. Makes sense.
No.
I think it's the same in New York.
And of course, the only place you can buy tickets for those shows is through whom, Sam?
Live Nation Ticketmaster.
And of course, Sam, through those events, the only people you can sell tickets through legally is whom, Sam?
Live Nation Ticketmaster.
And of course, Sam, not all tickets actually go to the market. A lot of the tickets go directly to the resale market, the platform of which is owned by whom, Sam?
This nonsense company.
Right. The Justice Department sued Live Nation for being a monopoly. And the core tenet of the lawsuit was, not the core tenet, the core goal of the lawsuit was Live Nation is a monopoly. We need to break Live Nation up. And of course, Live Nation has been under significant fire twice before. Well, Sam, in the middle of trial, Live Nation settled with the federal government. Under the settlement, Live Nation agreed to 15% cap on Ticketmaster service fees at Live Nation-owned theaters, to develop back-end technology for listing and delivering tickets for any third-party primary marketplaces, but only for applicable venues that choose to do so. A quote, pledge to give artists more transparency on their own ticket sales, which means nothing. And let select venues sign new agreements to sell a certain portion of tickets through third parties, but Ticketmaster is still allowed to, quote, ask for exclusive agreements. And of course, Sam, if you don't agree to doing a third part, if you don't agree to an exclusive deal with Ticketmaster, what do you think is going to happen to you, Sam?
You're gonna be forced to.
So the lawsuit is settled, and Ticketmaster didn't even actually have to pay any money out, Sam. They just had to agree to some bullshit, which none of which is going to be enforced. And of course, they're not going to be broken up for being a monopoly. And notably, Ticketmaster, Sam, has donated millions and millions and millions to whom, Sam?
Our fearless leader.
I won't call him fearless, but yes, you are correct. Sadly, he's our
Fearful.
leader. And of course, Sam, the head of the Justice Department prosecution team was appointed by whom, Sam?
The leader.
Right. So this is bullshit, Sam. And I try not to be too negative. I try to stay positive, but like just the level of corruption here, the level of the super rich always win, the level that Donald Trump always win. You can the point that you can straight up just bribe the president in plain. You don't have to do it in a back room. You can just literally give him money and he'll let you off the hook. It feels pretty bad, Sam. It's kind of a, it's a real bummer. And Sam, I'm gonna underscore and make it even more miserable. The fact of the matter is, concerts are fun. Concerts are nice. Concerts aren't that important. You don't need to go to a concert to live, you know? Sam, this is happening 10, 100, 1,000 times worse with healthcare, with insurance, with immigration issues. So this is just the tip of the iceberg for things that don't really matter. For things that actually matter, it's way, way worse. And so I'm bummed out, Sam, and I don't really have any words. The only words of encouragement I have, Sam, and all, well, actually, and also what's even more frustrating is, I don't know about now, but a few years ago, when Live Nation was really clamping down in Philadelphia, house shows were sprouting up because people want to have $15 shows, $20 shows. Not every show can be a $50 to $75 show. The police were being called on these house shows and the not totally licensed venue. Sam, guess who was calling the police?
The venues or
Live
the Live
Nation.
Nation,
Live
yeah.
Nation third-party contractors were hired to go around on Friday and Saturday night and call the police.
Well, you know what? This speaks to the climate of what we have here, right?
Yeah.
We have a dichotomy right now for, John and I, we are frequent concert goers or show goers. There is no venues or spots that, let's say, a small band could play right now, which is a huge issue because if we want to continue to, I guess, make music or have, thriving little bands happen, there's nowhere for them to go. So they could try to go to bars, house shows, things like that. If all of these places are getting cracked down, right? I was like, none of that's gonna happen. The only thing that's gonna thrive, quote unquote, right, is Beyoncé concerts, which it
Right.
was like Taylor Swift concerts are impossible to get tickets to unless you are, rich and have a lot of money, or you only go to one concert a year. I was like, John, I know you go to like several a month, and so do I. Different ones, you have different tastes than I do. But I was like,
We would both go to Tegan and Sarah, Sam. We would both go to Tegan
yes,
and
we
Sarah.
can both go to Tegan and Sarah. Yes, and we should one day.
I think it's over for Tegan and Sarah. I think it's over, frankly.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Unless they want to do the con for a 30th anniversary or something.
I'm down. I'll go to that.
Exactly. But r regardless, I was like, there's really, I was like, I was talking to people, my husband and friends, about this. I was like, there's really nowhere for us to go. Nowhere where I can say, this is my second home as a venue that's not like a Live Nation or Ticketmaster place. And even those, I'm like, I hate being here because I'm spending like half. Like, so if a ticket is $40, I'm probably spending $20 just in fees, which makes the entire ticket, what, $60 total?
Probably more like
Right?
65 or even 70. I mean,
Exactly.
I once paid like literally like 62% in fees, like double the ticket, you know?
Exactly. And I was like, I don't even understand what the hell is going on. I was like, this is not even an affordable lifestyle anymore. What happened to $5 shows? I miss that. Where are the youth gonna go? They can't even afford one ticket.
Well, there are a fair amount of house shows in Philly, but
N
also, I mean, I guess it's
not too
part of,
many in New York.
yeah, probably true. With Philly house shows, though, that they actually seem like I went to that Maura Weaver show 2 weeks ago, and the show was cool, but it was in the middle of a real bad. It was in the middle of a well, you were there, Sam, what I'm talking about, weren't you? Yeah, yeah. So like, it was like organized so poorly, but maybe a lot of house shows are organized poorly. So yeah. Anyways. One thing I did want to add that I should have added is in the trial, some documents came to light. In those documents, Live Nation regional directors said that these people are so stupid, I feel almost bad taking advantage of them, charging $250 for VIP parking. And then another guy wrote, "We are robbing, let's rob them blind, baby." You know, and so that just goes like Sam, even when we have the smoking gun, even when we have Ticketmaster admitting that they are robbing people blind, in their own words, nothing bad happens to them, Sam. It does kind of feel like the French Revolution, where the rich are so rich, they not only do they do what they want, they do it in plain daylight and just mock everyone else because they can and no one can stop them. It's very depressing, Sam.
It's so depressing because unfortunately I rely on going to see shows to make me happy. You know, what sparks joy is live music for me, and you know, it really making me think about, do I even want to support this? But then again, if I don't support this, I'm not supporting the artists. So it's like you're literally like hurting artists, music people, or comedians, or whomever, you know,
Well, that. Oh, go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
because they're kind of like, you know, held at these, well, I need a place somewhere, and this is the venue, and they. I think they really need to go the route of The Cure,
Yeah.
like, you know, and like negotiate with these giant freaking companies and say, no, I want fixed ticket prices. This is how much tickets are going to be. You know, and then like make it so. Like, this is insane at this point.
But Sam, if you recall with The Cure, you know, Robert Smith was real cool. He's like, listen, we're not going to do lightning pricing and we're not going to do second, third party. Like the
Correct.
price is the price. But then if you recall, Sam, then Ticketmaster like raised their service fee to that one show from like not $5. They raised, in addition to the service fee, there was like another fee that they just like made it like $25, you know, and the Robert Smith like had to make them like take it back down. Like
Correct.
Ticketmaster just lies and does whatever they want, you know. I'm not trying to be too negative, and I know people don't tune into the podcast just to hear us bitch about stuff, but this sucks, man. And Ticketmaster sucks, and I'm bummed out.
Wait, hold on.
Sam,
Are you sure they're not here just to listen to us bitch?
yes, I believe they want to hear positivity as well. But Sam, will it get better, or is it just going to get worse and worse and worse?
I really hoped that, you know, they were actually going to go after them and make it better for us. I'm not sure what the future is going to hold. I hope in the future this something else comes up and they nab them for it, because unfortunately, if they settled on this, then they can't try this case again, right?
Well, they could do antitrust again, you know, once the company grows and develops, which it surely will. But the point I'm making, Sam, is they're not trying to nab them. They had the smoking gun here
Well,
with, you know, and they just said, that's fine, you know.
this administration's not going after them.
Yes.
Maybe the next one will.
Maybe. Well, there's always hope, Sam, if we get there, if we get to another administration. So anyway, Trump sucks, you know, but you know, listen, everyone knows that. Oh, actually, Sam, I'm going to do a little bit of a divergence real quick. Punk in the Park collapsed, and a recurring theme we saw through some people, it's like, well, I just go to punk shows to unwind. I don't want to hear politics in punk rock. Or why does everything have to be political? First of all, things right now, things do have to be political. You know, a lot of people don't have the luxury of not being political. But I am seeing more and more of this through line that punk isn't political, which is absolutely insane to me, Sam. It's absolutely insane to me that people are saying punk isn't political, or people that are getting upset when punk bands are political. It's like, have you never heard The Clash? Have you never heard Captain Sensible the Damned? Have you never heard Crass? Have you never heard Minor Threat? Have you never heard Fugazi? Have you never heard the Dead Kennedys? Like, since when is politics not like an essential point of punk rock? I'm astounded that I'm seeing this thread more and more often, Sam.
Are you talking about pop punk or emo bands?
Not,
Because
I mean, not specifically, but.
yeah, because I get pop punk bands, because a lot of, or emo bands, because they talk about feelings a lot,
But are
right?
they even punk? Are those bands even punk, really?
Exactly. Like, well, some of them are crossed into the punk sphere, right? But I was like, you know, there's a lot of like punk bunk, like it goes to the genre, right? Like, what do you classify yourself as? Or what do we classify you as? Not me or you. I'm saying we as in the people that listen to you, right? I think, punks, most of us is about anti something, or we do have stances, very strong stances and things. So I do think that most of us is politically knowledgeable about things in this world, right? I think sometimes people, especially right now, don't want to hear about politics because it's just so bad for some of us. There's just a lot of bad news. Like me personally, I've actually kind of limited my news intake because it's just so negative that I'm trying to keep my mental health in check. And that doesn't mean I'm not getting the information that I need to get that's happening in this world. It's just I don't want to hear about it incessantly from, like, Fox News and ABC News and, like, NBC, like, all of the giant, like, news corporations out here. I don't need to hear all of that nonsense. Maybe you might want to call me a little radical, but sometimes I like to watch the BBC News to get a little bit of a non-American view of what is happening in America because they do report about us quite often, shockingly. But yeah, I think when it comes to punk music is kind of very political. It is founded on a lot of very strong beliefs and ideas about what is right and what is wrong. And I don't think that I do think it's intertwined. So if a band, let's say, Strike Anywhere is on stage and wants to talk about stuff that's happening in this world, then go right ahead because their music is very, very, like, anti-establishment and stuff. Yes, John.
Well, I think punk is political. I don't think all punks band have I don't think every punk band has to be political, but
No.
I'm astounded when people get surprised or even angered that a punk band is being political. Like, this is punk rock. Like, if you don't want politics, go listen to, I don't know, country or pop or something.
Well,
I don't know, but
go to a pop show. Like, a pop show isn't necessarily political because it's popular music, right? And two, I was like, they're there to entertain you. Like,
I do love it though, Sam, when Taylor Swift or Chappell Roan or Sabrina Carpenter get political or Bad Bunny. I do love that,
Oh yeah.
Sam.
No, I love it too. And they're as a person that lives in this world, they're entitled to their feelings and what they believe in, and I am for it, especially when it aligns to the things I believe in, right? But I also respect the people if they don't believe in the things that I believe in, I also do respect it.
I do, except when it crosses the line into bigotry, which a lot of MAGA people are. Racism, sexism, I can't respect that. As a punk, it is my job not to respect that, Sam.
Well, I don't listen to those people, so I would not be spending money to go see them.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think if I would go see an artist that does have some of those views. You know, I hate to be that guy, but
I don't think so, John.
I love Alice Cooper, but every once in a while I'm like, is he just like being an old man or is he giving a dog whistle? You know, it's bumming me out a little bit, Sam, you know.
Well, I'm not seeing Morrissey ever,
Well,
so
I would go see
you
Morrissey.
would, but I won't. Oh,
So yeah, let's do a happy story and then we'll come back and we'll hit some of the harder hitting news, Sam. Vinyl record, Sam. What n new vinyl record, Sam? Dollar wise, how many sold in USA in 2025?
over like. It has to be a couple million. The way that I buy vinyl and you
No, no,
buy
not just us, Sam. That would be a couple million between you and I.
vinyl,
USA, $1.04 billion in new record sales in America in 2025. The 19th consecutive year that vinyl sales have risen, Sam.
19th consecutive year. So it's been 19 consecutive years of us having a sickness.
Yes. And interestingly, the drivers of new vinyl sales are the pop stars. Number one selling vinyl record in 2025 in USA, Taylor Swift, Life of a Showgirl, 1.6 million copies, Sam, which for a vinyl record in 2025, not CDs, astounding, Sam. Astounding.
It we have when is this bubble gonna pop? Like, or haven't we been waiting for this damn bubble to pop?
I've been waiting for the pop for a while. I'm hoping it. I'm planning that it's, every year. I'm saying it's going to pop this year. And actually, I thought it did pop or was going down at the second half of 2025 because I noticed that my record sales are going down. But then as soon as Christmas hit, bam! It's like it's been bananas. Knock on wood. But Sam, this is also interesting. Taylor Swift number one, 1.6 million records. Number two, Sabrina Carpenter. How many millions? How many records did she sell? Number two.
Wait, you said Taylor Swift is 1.6, right?
Taylor Swift sold 1.6 million copies of Life of a Showgirl. That doesn't even include her back catalog, which is probably millions in of itself, you see. Number two, Sabrina Carpenter. How many
And then
records do you think
half
she sold?
that?
Not even. 288,000. Way
That's
less.
insane.
Yes. And then right after that, Kendrick Lamar, like 266,000 or something. Interestingly, six and seven, Fleetwood Mac and Michael Jackson. So those records are still perennial poppers, if you will. I'm not surprised by Fleetwood Mac Rumors. Michael Jackson, I am a little surprised because you can buy that record stuff for like $8, $10, you know.
Well, John, no. Okay, so the people that is buying these mass-produced records, right? I'm talking about Fleetwood Mac and Michael Jackson Thriller. They're not digging like we would. Like, we
True.
are record diggers, crate diggers, whatever you want to call us. We would go through the bins and try to find those gems in the rough that, like, oh, I found this for $5, you know, like that things. But it takes time. With normal people, right? They're going into Urban Outfitters, or they're, you know, now I'm getting ads from, like, you know, Sony Music Company for stuff. They're going directly to the major companies, right? Record labels, and they're just buying these things. I was like, so Taylor Swift, I'm not too shocked about being, like, you know, the high ticket person, because she's literally, in weird ways, she's like the goddess of things, of popular things right now,
She's been
right?
the goddess of popular things for like 10 years now. That's
Yeah.
an astounding, or maybe even 15. That's an astounding run. That's
Yeah,
astounding.
it is insane. And the fact that, like, you know, Sabrina Carpenter's right below her, because she literally just blew up out of nowhere,
Yeah.
you know, singing about espressos and stuff like that, right? Or morning bed chem. Yeah, no, that's crazy. Clearly, our punk records that we're buying isn't gonna top any of these things, because we're not churning them out in droves like this. But this kind of does have an interesting spin on it, because if the major labels, they're tapping into these record pressing plants now, right? I was like, what does that mean for smaller labels, and what is getting pressed? Because clearly, record pressing plants, if you're going to be spending millions to press records, they're going to spend more time on you than a 300 run of, you know, a record that's coming out by a punk band from New York City, you know?
You know, Sam, interesting. You and I might have slightly divergent opinions on this. Years ago, when this phenomenon first started, everyone was attacking poor Taylor. And I say, how dare you attack poor Taylor? Taylor is the one keeping vinyl records alive because by selling millions of records, she's keeping these record plants in business. You know, a 300, a 500 teenage bottle rocket pressing is not going to keep a record label, a record plant open.
Yep.
Taylor is carrying the weight for the punk bands. So the punk bands can keep making vinyl, you see. Now, of course, the argument is, well, Taylor and Fleetwood Mac is clogging up the pressing plants. Well, you know, if I have to wait 3 months just so my record exists, I'm okay with that, because the fact is, without Taylor, without Sabrina, without Kendrick, without Fleetwood Mac Rumors, even without the world's famous child molester, Michael Jackson, without them, then the records that I want might not exist, because the record plants will close up because there's not enough business. And actually, that did happen. I mean, about 7 or 8 years ago, Rainbow Record and a bunch of other plants closed up and went out of business because there simply wasn't enough business. Now there's plenty of business. Maybe if things stay strong, some smaller pressing plants will pop up here and there, and the punk guys can get their stuff taken care of there.
Well, that's what's happening. The smaller record pressing plants are popping up, and that's what's taking care
Beautiful.
of the other stuff, which,
Beautiful.
again, if this bubble bursts, those record pressing plants are going to go.
Ah, but will they, Sam? And here's why. Will and maybe they won't. That's a great question. That's a great question, Sam. Excellent question, Sam. Because let's say tomorrow everyone says, we don't want Taylor Swift records anymore. We only want to stream. Okay. The big plants will suffocate and die. But will the small ones that are doing punk records? Because the fact of the matter is, records have always been popular in punk in the 70s, in the 80s, even in the 90s, when no one cared about records, punk bands still made records. Records have always been popular in the punk world and the metal world. So maybe the small guys will be able to live because they're small and they don't need that many records orders to exist.
I think it depends on the price point. Yeah, I think it depends on the price point. I think it depends on how quickly things can be done. Like, I know going through the process of working on a specific record that is in my house, too many of them right now because the band is going on tour this weekend. Not gorgeous. I do know that we specifically went with a US presser just so that we can get and a small pressing plant just so that we can get them to us as quick as possible. But
So, Sam, oh, I'm sorry, go
I
ahead.
do think Czech Republic would have been cheaper.
But not as good. I mean, those Czech Republic records, Sam, they don't sound that good. They don't sound that good, those Czech Republic
It
records.
depends on who cuts them.
True. Sam, so this $1.04 billion in record sales, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing personally. I think it is alarming to me because again, I was like, now we're dealing with overpressing or potentially, right? Of these albums. And my thing is, okay, well, you might be collecting records now. So, okay, John and I, we've been collecting records and we have record collections and we've had it for over 15 years at this point, right? Some of these people that's buying these records are new collectors. Now, in let's say 5 years from now, are these new collectors going to still be seasoned collectors, or are they going to be like, oh, I don't need physical media anymore, so I'm going to sell it to X, Y, and Z record store, and it's going to sit in their dusty bins for 20 plus years. So, do we really need 10 million, more copies of Michael Jackson Thriller? Probably not. You could have probably gotten one for a dollar in the dollar bin. Yes, but here we are.
I say it's a good thing, Sam. So long as the price of records actually is getting kind of crazy. Like a new record now is almost like $40, frankly, you know. Although
Well,
sometimes
it's $40. It might be $30 and then $12 to ship the thing to you.
but well, true, but I'm talking kind of in the store. Like a lot of new records are almost $40 now. Like a Taylor Swift record is like $40.
Oh,
This
yeah, major. Yeah,
Is a good thing that this many records are selling. It's a good thing that the young people are getting into it, and it's a good thing the pop stars are getting people into it and keeping them into it. The only thing is, the major labels just got to realize, don't strangle the customer. Don't make it so they can barely afford one record. They'll buy that one record and they'll be happy about it and they'll play it, but they won't be jumping to go back to the store to buy another record. If you make them so expensive, that people really have to agonize over to, well, big win, goodbye. Have the foresight to leave some pennies on the table. That way people buy a record, they're happy, they come back, they buy another record, maybe they buy two records. As long as the major labels keep records somewhat reasonable compared to the price of inflation, this is a great thing. And I'm saying, gung ho, let's keep at it, baby. So here we go.
I
Hooray.
literally remember buying records at No Idea for $10.
Yeah, right.
That's we're not at that time anymore.
Sam, remember when records were cheaper than CDs?
I know. Crazy, right?
Oh, actually, let me talk about this real briefly. I was at a show. That's right. It was the Knee-Highs who were awesome. The opening band, who I was going to buy it, I wanted to buy a CD, but they didn't have any CDs and they didn't have any records. They had a cassette, and I'm like, well, how much is the cassette? How much do you think they wanted for the cassette, Sam?
$20.
$20 for a cassette. Like, I'm like, a cassette's supposed to be $3. I'll go up to 10 maybe, but like it really should be like six or maybe
John,
eight.
you know how much a cassette costs to make.
Yeah.
You probably have a million Punk News cassettes somewhere.
Actually, I'm very proud that most of the Punk News, I mean, I probably have about 30 of them. Like almost every
Oh,
Punk News cassette has been sold. But that'd be
good.
like, I guess like the young people are trying to pitch that the $20 cassette is reasonable. No, a cassette is
No,
not $20.
it's not. I was like, if you were to tiered and ranked vinyl cassettes and CDs out of durability, cassettes are like the lowest tiered of it because one, the tape could rip, two, it could crinkle. I was like, growing up, I was like, I had so many cassette tapes go bad on me. I was
Yes.
like, come on. I was like, even a CD is more durable.
Because I mean, cassettes really are bullshit. I do enjoy the novelty of them, but give me the novelty price. Give me the $6, $8 price. Not like I think young people are trying to pitch $20 as a cassette as making sense when it really just give me a CD for 15 or 10. You know.
Well, like my thing about cassettes, like, okay, so if you're a band and you have a pre-order and you have normally it's vinyl CD these days, right? I see that option. If you have a cassette, that's like the niche market of people that you're trying to get that like wants it all or like actually actively looks for cassettes. Because I'm like, usually if a band is pressing cassettes, it's like 300. It's not too many, you
Yeah.
know, compared to like a pressing of like maybe 15, you know, of a vinyl or something like that, right? But I was like, really? I was like, I cannot imagine spending $20 on a cassette if the vinyl is going to be 40. That's just insane to me.
I hear you. Well, she seemed shocked and mad that I didn't want to spend $20 on a cassette. I mean, I was polite about it. I wasn't like F you know, but
Oh, no, of course.
like I had to do the thing where you kind of had to say, oh, okay. And you kind of had to like back away. And she was like trying to hard sell me. And she seemed like shocked that I didn't want to spend $20 on a cassette. But listen.
Hey, I would have just said, oh, don't have the money, but maybe next time. Bye.
I should be like, your music sucks. I was just trying to be nice. Screw you.
Oh.
So here's something that we definitely should talk about. About a month ago, NOFX had a exhibit at the Punk Rock Museum. It was called the NOFX exhibit, and only three of the four NOFXs were there. Fat Mike, Eric Melvin, no, I
No.
already messed it up. Fat Mike,
Yes.
Melly, and El Jefe were there,
Yes.
and they opened with a collective statement, which kind of shocked people. And in the statement, Smelly, speaking on behalf of the band, said, "No, Smelly on behalf of the band."
Smelly, smelly,
On
yes.
behalf of the band, stated that the day after the final NOFX show, Eric Melvin, quote, served legal papers on Fat Mike. And so, and they said, so that's why he's not here, and we're mad at him, and we think he's not being cool. And I'm paraphrasing that statement right there. And so then we and other publications reported that Eric Melvin was suing Fat Mike because the word serving legal papers means serving a summons or other legal document
Yep.
for a matter that has been filed with the court upon a relevant party, be it a defendant or other party. That's what that means. We got a kind of a weird message. I don't know if how inside baseball I want to go on this. We got a weird message from someone we don't know, and a weird message from someone that we do know that said that story's wrong. And
Yes.
I was like, so what's the real story? And they like wouldn't tell me. So I had to do the thing where I'm like guessing what the real story might be, and they're saying yes or no or maybe. And it's like, can you just tell me the real story? And they like wouldn't do it.
Yep.
So who knows? So anyways, earlier, and actually Fat Mike had used that exact same verbiage at a Cokie the Clown show about 6 months before the Punk Museum thing. It just really didn't make news, frankly. And so anyways, this past weekend, before the debut of the new NoFX documentary in Austin, Texas, I'm not sure if it's Austin, Texas. I think it's Austin, Texas. I think South by Southwest. Eric Melvin issued a statement. Actually, I'm going to read a statement right now. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, maybe I will. Hey, all, Eric Melvin here. I'm in Austin now to celebrate our film's premiere with my bandmates, and I want to address something directly before we get to the good stuff and party time. Things have been said about me that aren't true, and I've been quiet long enough. I won't let one version of events be the only version anymore. I never sued Fat Mike, NoFX, or served anyone in the band legal papers. Not at 8 a.m., not ever. What actually happened? A letter was sent in the late afternoon of October 7, 2024. Not a lawsuit, not a demand. Mike, pay me millions of dollars. The words thief or legal appear nowhere in it. It was a letter requesting financial records I'd been requesting for years without receiving and asking for certain conduct to stop. As a member of this band in the LLC, that's my right. It was private. And I'm going to pause right here. So what he's describing is what's called a demand for accounting. If you're a member of an LLC and you feel as though you're not getting paid what you should get paid, or if you feel like certain money's being wasted, recklessly, then you can do a demand for accounting, which hypothetically, that's where whoever controls the books of the LLC gives you all the books, and you either yourself or through a forensic accountant, you go over the documents to see if there is some kind of financial impropriety. So that's what Eric Melvin is saying, is he sent a demand for accounting to Fat Mike, which frankly is not a, I mean, sometimes it's a necessary thing, but it's never a nice thing to do. And often it is the precursor for a lawsuit, and so now I'm going to continue reading Melvin's statement. Now to what actually matters. I love being in NoFX. I love my bandmates. I'm so proud of what we built together over decades. This weekend we premiere a documentary, and while it's rooted mostly in one person's perspective, it's us for better or for worse. We will all be there, but our fans are the most important people in that room. So let's shut down the rumor mill, enjoy Fat Mike's NoFX documentary, and party like it's 1991. Love, Mel. However, so it appears that there might have been some sort of amends or something, and it appears, according to Melvin, that there is no lawsuit, really just a demand for accounting. And perhaps, well, actually, we'll get to that into a second. Sam, I looked at pictures of the doc of the premiere, and I saw some rumors in the rumor mill. It might have been that Melvin actually wasn't there, though, at the thing. Do you know about that?
I have no idea whether or not Melvin was there or not. I think I did see that he was supposed to be at one of these events because there's many events happening soon, right?
Yeah.
And so I would assume that with the statement that he has gotten the necessary paperwork that he requested.
Oh, I don't think that's accurate at all, Sam. I think he's still trying to get it.
Well, my thing is, I was like, it's why wait this long to be so silent about all of this and and not put out a statement earlier to clear up the air because it did go spiraling around for a month now, right? Via press, via just punks being punks, right? I'm going to assume that he got some information that he needed, and I would assume that they're on decent terms
I
for
don't think
him
they
to
are.
show up. Well, then again, why would you not show up if you guys like if you are not on decent terms, why would you show up to
Pure
or
speculation. I have no inside info. Pure speculation. I feel as though maybe things might be spiraling out of control on both sides, because the individual people are not the only forces at work. Sammy sent to them are not the only forces at work. However, I feel as though maybe both sides kind of had a discussion, or maybe one side said, "Listen, for the sake of the band, let's at least premiere as a united front in front of the fans, even though we're not getting along." Many bands have hated each other but still presented themselves as a unified band. The Ramones, Hall & Oates, Ram. So I don't know if Sam got that or not.
Yeah.
Often bands will present as unified front. So I think that might have been the plan. However, I think that amends did not actually occur. And therefore, even though maybe Melvin was originally planning the show, something happened between that statement and the rest of the band that either one side or both sides said, "No, this is not going to happen because things are too bad right now." That's pure speculation. I don't
Yeah.
know that to be the fact. I am looking at the Q&A, Sam, at the Texas premiere. Mike, Smelly, Hefe, no, Eric Melvin.
I do think that they all use bad language, like poor verbiage to convey the things that they actually needed to convey. That's more legal terms in this entire situation. I do believe if Melvin wasn't there, it's I if Melvin wasn't there, why is he in Austin?
I think he was planning on being there, and I think something had either things were kind of cool and then someone said something and it blew things up, or he was just almost going to quote crash the party and say, "I'm here, boys," but the other boys are so mad they don't want him there, you
Yeah.
see. Pure speculation, I don't know.
Well, there's other premieres happening this week. So,
Where on the street is he was not there? Every comment I'm seeing says he was not there. So who knows what's going on with NoFX? It looks kind of ugly. Here's something that's up to you whether or not it's ugly or not. Sam, Vinnie Vincent, formerly of Kiss, are you a fan?
no, not a fan.
Well, Vinnie Vincent is selling his brand new record. His new record is called Guitarmageddon. It's got 10 songs, Sam, and I'm gonna read the titles to you, Sam. Invincible, song number two. Heavy Metal Poontang. Song three, Cock Teaser. Song four, Rocks on Fire. Song five, Youngblood. Song six, Euphoria. Full Shred, Get the Lead Out. Wild Child, and closing track, Sam, Ride the Serpent. And so that's Vinnie Vincent's new record. However, you can't buy it as a fan yet because he hasn't even sold it to a label yet. He's saying that any label or any other person can buy the rights to the record, Sam, for $2 million. So, Sam, here's the question. Is this delusional insanity, or is this a daring new way to approach the music business and kind of, for years and years, and frankly, it's worse now than it ever had been, is bands are at the mercy of labels. And it's gotten worse now than it was 5 years ago, especially in the independent label section. Is this Vinny taking the power back? Should other bands follow this lead?
Oh, so when this came up and I read this entire thing, one, these song titles are interesting, and are you thinking about sex? Like, what's happening here,
Ride the
right?
serpent, Sam. What do you mean? Sex, ride the serpent. What do you mean? Where's the innuendo?
I don't know. I can't possibly think about, riding an actual snake. So anyways, or
But
heavy metal poontang. Come on.
there's no actual innuendo in Heavy Metal Poontang. It's direct. It is direct.
It's very direct. And the fact that I was like, so you can buy the thing for a lot of money. It's mixed mastered. It's a final product, right? And like it almost to or you can buy it on like by song. I'm like, how does this even work? I'm like, usually I was like, if you sell your music, you're selling the entire catalog of some sort, right? Part of this almost sounds like I'm selling you this so that you can just press it on vinyl for me, and whatever the charges of the vinyl is, you get to keep. because I already made my money. So maybe this is agreement of, oh, I you can have like, you know, three pressings of this vinyl, like you know, however much you want for whatever the pressing numbers are, right? Because it doesn't even sound like you like if you buy this, because it does say it does not include any rights, titles, interest in the copyrights or trademarks. So it sounds like Vinny's keeping those
Yeah,
because
well,
he recorded everything.
I'm not sure. You're exactly right. I'm not sure if he's just licensing you the right to press the record,
I think so.
or is he misspeaking and you actually are buying the copyright to the sound recording, just not the compositions. It's not like he doesn't even know what he's doing. But here's where things get weirder too, Sam. The only way he'll accept payment is through PayPal, and he says your card will be charged immediately, which means you have to have a $2 million balance on your, or not balance, limit on your credit card.
Which I'm like, but you can also link your bank account to PayPal, so you don't even need a card for this.
But he demands a card, Sam. He
Yeah,
said he.
exactly. Which I was like, I read that piece too, and I was like, what? I was like, if do you know how PayPal works? I was like, you
Like
can.
he doesn't. Apparently, he doesn't know how
Clearly
PayPal
not.
works.
I was like, and then it goes subsequently, your payment is protected by PayPal policy. I'm like, is that supposed to be make me feel good that I'm giving you like, you know, 2 million of my money for this? But like I would want more clarification, because if I was to pay $2 million for something, right? I would want to at least be making back my $2 million. So how many records or things will I need to press in order to make this money back?
Sam, this record isn't even. I mean, I'd be surprised. If I could put a value on this record, like I'm not even being silly. I'm being dead serious. This record, I think. I mean, Kiss fans are pretty diehard, but this is not a Kiss record. It's a
No.
spin-off record,
Yeah.
you know. I would put a value. I would put a value of this record at. Let's do the math right now. I would say 5,000 copies, but I think that's optimistic. Like.
Yeah.
I'm saying like 3,000 records, right?
3,000 at like $40 a piece.
I'm saying, well, see, I'm thinking like 35 a piece. So that's a total income of $105,000. But that doesn't include the cost of records. The
Nope.
cost of the records are going to be about $12 each. So
Yep.
3,000 times 12 is $39,000. No, $36,000. Minus $36,000.
And that's not even fancy packaging.
So at best, Sam, at best, ironically, guess what this album, as per my guesses, Sam, what do you think this record is worth at most? Which even I think is this is optimistic.
Like $3,000.
Well, I got 69,000, which I thought was an amusing number, but that's assuming we sell 3,000 copies. Which you know, I mean, like most punk bands sell like 300 copies, you
Wait,
know.
hold on. So you valued Poontang to 69,000.
$69,000, but I mean, I actually think that's way optimistic. I would value this record at about 25,000, I think, to tell you the truth. And so, like, is he delusional, Sam? Is this like we're talking about it? So is this like a stunt, or is this a stunt, or is he delusional?
I think he's trying to shoot his shot and see if anyone will take up on this offer. You know, if you don't ask and you don't put it out there, you're never gonna know, right? I think a rational human is going to look at this and go, nope, not worth it. Especially if you're dealing with like a business person, right? A person that knows how to like look at numbers.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to spend what is it, $200, is it, for one song? Is it $200?
200,000 for
Oh,
one song.
may you might you might have the budget for 200,000 for Cock Teaser. You might want to just get Cock Teaser, you know.
But Sam, what happens if let's say someone buys Cock Teaser, then no one else can buy the album.
Yeah.
But here's what I thought was funny is it's 10 songs and the whole album is 2 million, but you can buy a song at 200,000. So you don't get a discount for buying all the songs, you see.
No.
And so like, but so if someone buys Cock Teaser, does that mean the whole album is scuttled because then the other guy
Yes.
can't buy it?
Yeah, well, that would make this offer or agreement, right? Completely void at that point. As soon as someone makes a bid for Cock Teaser and actually pays the money and goes through the transaction for Cock Teaser, that's it. I was like, the entire two whatever for the entire album is gone. So now you're dealing with needing to get rid of nine other songs somehow. So let's say another person's like, oh, I went Invincible because it's a fairly normal titled song. But no one takes let's see, Get the Lead Out. Then it's like, what do you do with that? Now you're stuck with a song. I'm like,
But Sam, what do you think of the model, the essential model, which is instead of getting royalty, the way most record deals work is the record label puts up the money and then they kind of pump that up on their end. Once they break even, or even more so, then you get paid a royalty, you see.
Yes.
Here it's the other way around. It's like buy it or don't. What do you think
Yeah.
of, what if every band got together and said to the label, buy it or don't? What do you think of that?
I think this, so I think this is fine if this was a reasonable amount of money for a licensing fee to get records pressed, right? I feel like this could be okay. However, I think that the terms of this agreement that he's looking for is a little confused. And I think it's unreasonable for the rates that he's asking for.
So going, do you think he's like losing his mind, or do you think this is like some stunt?
I don't know if he's losing his mind. I sometimes when you're in large bands, like, Kiss, you may not have a sense of reality anymore because when you're playing to stadiums of people, right? You're just like, oh my God, these people are worshiping me. So you may not actually get a sense of, oh, they're worshiping the band, right? Because the band might have a huge following or lore attached to them. Not necessarily me. They're not looking for you, right? Yeah. This might be a very humbling experience here.
I do not think he will be humbled by it, Sam. I think he will continue to be delusional over it. So yeah, so we'll see. Sam, how much would you bid for this album?
Not bidding. Sam has a better things to use her money on.
I would bid $500. I would put out an album with a Heavy Metal Poontang and Cock Teaser and Ride the Serpent. I'd bid 500 on that, you know?
Would you like my other thing is so okay, you get the final product, all mastered files of the artwork. What is the artwork? I want to see said artwork.
You got plenty of 2 mil, Sam. If you really care, you got to put up 2 mil.
I'm like, is it like a picture of this person like riding an actual snake, like as a dragon? I was like, come on. Tell me.
Sam, I think you and I can agree that Kiss is like the worst band. Like Kiss is so bad. Kiss is so bad.
I am not a Kiss fan. I do not care for any of this. However, this story is wild.
Well, Black Flag is also working on new material. The drummer, who's like 19, Bryce Weston, he posted a video of him drumming in the studio, and he said, went into the studio with Greg for a few days, got drums recorded for 40 songs, and had a lot of fun with them. Here's a highlight of one of the crazier parts I came up with. Sam, do you care about, quote, Black Flag in 2026? Greg Ginn and three 20-year-olds, do you care? Do you want new
I'm
material?
interested in seeing what this is. However, this is quite concerning. Because again, it's Greg Ginn and a whole bunch of 20-year-olds. My other thing is, why are you in locking these kids up for 3 days to record 40 songs? Like, what are you doing? Like, are the 40 songs even good? Like, I cannot imagine you being like, oh yeah, we have 40 songs, like well-developed songs.
Well, I mean, that's been ever since My War. Every Greg Ginn slash Black Flag slash Greg Ginn solo, whatever release, has had the exact same criticism. You're putting out a ton of material and it's all garbage. You clearly wrote the song in a half hour and said it's done when it probably needs a lot more work.
Exactly. And it's like, I'm like, I totally understand if you have the means to go into a recording studio and just like, you know, recording a whole bunch of stuff and seeing what sticks. Like, you know, that's the demoing process, right? But I was like, at some point, I was like, when you demo stuff, you have to actually listen to it and say, this sucks. Or this is great, and we need to expand on that. I was like, you know, you can't just like, you know. Plus, I was like, you're locking up these kids for 3 days? Crazy! I was like, don't you kids have stuff to do? Like, go to school or something? Wow, I just sound like I was on my lawn.
I will say it's difficult to imagine that you can record 40 songs in 3 days and they sound good. I mean, it can be done. Black Sabbath recorded their first album in 2 days, so that's like five songs a day, you know, as opposed to 40. I'm trying to think of some
But
other.
I'm sure that was developed songs that they've already like been
Sure,
working on
they've
and
been playing those
not,
songs for 2 years. Yeah.
yeah, so like, you know, it's not like we're sitting at the recording studio and fucking around and finding out, you know?
Yeah. Well, we will. We do. I should mention, I'm actually very interested to hear this. Like, I almost want it to be good. Like, as annoyed as I am by Greg Ginn, like, I think this version of Black Flag is way better than the last version with Mike Vallely. So I'm interested, Sam. I'm genuinely interested, you know?
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what this is because, again, I was like, you know, this is almost a brand new band.
Well,
You
right. So,
know.
see. I guess the reason I'm interested and not offended is, I mean, this is not Black Flag. Like,
No.
even though it's called Black Flag, my brain is not like, when I go see the quote fake Dead Kennedys, I'm annoyed because it's calling itself the Dead Kennedys, but it's not, you know? But I'm not even annoyed by this because it's so not Black Flag. Like, I
Yeah.
don't even care. You know what I mean? It's like,
Well, like it's funny because like when it comes to bands like this that have a legacy name, I'm gonna say this, a legacy name, right? That essentially you have a lot of potential disputes amongst the bands and member changes, right?
yes.
I was like, and maybe said one person owns it, or maybe said person is like the longest member, even though they're not a founding member of said band, right? That now is still a part of band or is the owner of said band. I was like, it's you're essentially capturing the people that's not in the know of this drama here. To be like, oh, okay, well, this is Black Flag. Everyone talks about Black Flag. Like, you know, it should be great, right? And then you'll get people to listen to them. And then, like, then that's when they'll start to discover, no, this isn't really Black Flag anymore because, you know, all of the people, there was, you know, all this kerfuffle that happened, blah, 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 you know? Yeah, but, you know, John, you and I, we've discussed Black Flag enough to be like, Flag is better than this.
Yeah,
Oh,
and you know who else is better than Black Flag, Sam? Descazino playing in Philadelphia, May 16, matinee show, doing all Black Flag songs. That'll be way better than this. But you know, listen, I really have no resentment. Like, so Skip McSkipter is the singer for the quote New Dead Kennedys. I think that's not cool. I think stepping in for Greg Gitt, for I think stepping in for Jell-O and like adopting Jell-O-isms and kind of his spiel, which you could never copy, but
no.
attempting to copy that, I think that's lame. I think that was lame of, I don't think Skip's a bad guy. I think that was lame of him to do that and kind of try, like on stage, Skip kind of does Jello-ish arm movements. He does Jello-ish spiels, which he didn't do when he in his other band, when in the Riders, you know. So he's kind of like trying to be a fake Jello, which I do not approve of. These kids, I only wish these kids the best, Sam. They're young kids. They think they're getting some sort of a chance, and maybe they are. Although in the long run, I think this might actually hold them back. You know what I mean? But I wish them well. Greg Ginn, well, I don't wish him ill, but you know, he's a dick. So anyway, and Sam, should I tell the story again real quick of the time that Mike Vallely tried to rip me off for $20?
You can if you
Or
want.
$10. So at the Ron Reyes Black Flag shows, which I did enjoy, honestly, I wish Ron kind of got better treatment from the people and from Black Flag. They were selling Black Flag shirts for $10 each, which even then was insanely cheap. And so I'm like, wow, I'm going to buy one. So I gave Mike Vallely, who was acting as the merch guy, $20. And I said, here's 20. Can I have the Everything Went Black shirt? He's like, sure. And he gives me the shirt and he walks away. And I'm like, can I have my $10 in change? And he's like, what? I'm like, I gave you a 20. I said, here's a 20. Can I have my change? He's like, what? I'm like, can I have my $10 back? So like, he was trying to cop my $10, you know. But the worst part is Sam, I wore the shirt. I'm like, yeah, I'm wearing a Black Flag shirt. I look cool. I'm wearing a Black Flag shirt. I washed the shirt once, Sam. It disintegrated in the washing machine. Disintegrated. Which just goes to show. And here's a bit of advice for bands. Long after the price is forgotten, the memory of quality remains. Sam, had I spent $30 for that shirt, and if it held up, I'd be like, I love wearing my Black Flag shirt. It
Yep.
lets people know that I'm an outsider and I'm cool and you know I know what's going on. You know, instead of me having this shirt that I would treasure forever, I spent $30 for. I'm mad that I spent $10 and just threw that $10 in the trash can. You see,
Yep.
so
Yep.
but that's Greg Ginn's mentality. Anyways, let's see here. Sam, should we hit these last few stories or should we wrap it up? Let's see here.
Whatever you want. I'm okay.
All right, so we'll actually, I'll just hit this briefly. Godflesh is no more. Well, actually, it's not live. Godflesh is no more. Singer Justin Broadrick had some health issues, and so he's not physically. He actually had like his abdomen totally cut open, so he's physically not able to do Godflesh live. He says he's going to finish one more Godflesh album, and that will be it for Godflesh, aside from remix albums or whatever. He's still going to do his band Yaesu and his other band, which is called like Broderick Flesh or something like that. The other band is called JK Flesh, rather. And so it's the end of Godflesh, and he actually seemed pretty sad about it, frankly. I feel sad about that too. Sam, it is kind of a bummer that he has to end his band for physical reason, not for mental reasons, not for not wanting to do it. He still wants to do it, but he physically can't do it anymore. Isn't that a bummer? That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks whenever your body fails you, or like, you come into a health ailment that actually stops you from doing the things that you but brings you pleasure, I'm not a Godflesh fan. I will not be listening to them, so please don't send me tracks from Godflesh thinking that you're going to change my mind. However, it sucks. Like, these things suck, but we're here as a human form on this earth for only a certain amount of time, and sometimes we will not be here.
Well, I
So, John,
actually, oh, yes, Sam.
well, John, you might be here forever. I don't know.
I hope. I actually literally just started getting the Godflesh like 3 weeks ago when I got a Godflesh CD. I'm like, you know, I've never really seen the Godflesh. And honestly, Godflesh is kind of awesome. I've only listened to Street Cleaner and the first record. I really like the first record a lot. So I do recommend Godflesh. I never realized, and this is kind of clever. I don't know if other people realize this or not. The names of his bands are all the different versions of the same name.
Yeah, I,
Godflesh,
yeah,
Yaesu, Jesus, JK Flesh. That's kind
yeah.
of cool that his three different bands are all the same name, essentially, a variation of the same name. That's cool. And so anyways, let's see here. We're going to close this out with an RIP, but I'm seeing if there's any other things that we want to touch on. I guess that's pretty much it. I guess that's pretty much it. So anyways, quite sadly, A member of Motorhead has passed away, Phil Campbell, the guitar player. He's been in the band since 1984. He joined the band on the Orgasmatron album, which is my favorite Motorhead album. I love that album. He was only like 66. He was undergoing an operation that apparently, kind of went bad, or he wasn't physically able to make it through. And so I don't, does that mean every original, no, well, I shouldn't say every original, but almost all the classic members of Motorhead are now passed away, which is pretty sad. Motorhead's an amazing band, everyone knows that. So many iconic songs, so many iconic records. I saw them live once. They were awesome. It was with Phil Campbell. So man, R.I.P. Phil. I don't know, Sam, you got any wise words,
No, it's sad when the people that you, I guess, love in bands are no longer, but I guess he now will join Lemmy up in the other spheres, and hopefully they can do Motorhead songs all day for them.
Well, that's a way to look at it, indeed. Lemmy, R.I.P. Phil Taylor, R.I.P. Fast Eddie Clark, R.I.P. Phil Campbell, R.I.P. Wurzel, R.I.P. Really, the only classic guy left is Mikey D, man, or Mickey D, rather. So, wow, that's crazy. Wow. Well, listen, Sam. Nobody lasts forever, and we all must eventually turn to ash. What do you think of that, Sam?
Hopefully I get turned back into a tree or something, or reincarnated into a fat, lazy cat so I don't have to actually work anymore.
My grandma used to say, if there was reincarnation, she'd want to come back as a cat.
Yeah, I want to be a well-pampered cat. Like, it's crazy because I'm like, oh yeah, I have to work, I have to survive, da da da. Meanwhile, I look down and I have this dog here, and I'm like, you don't ever have to pay rent, and you get all of your needs satisfied, and health care. He doesn't have to pay for health care because I pay for all of that.
Ah, but Sam, what he doesn't have is true liberation, that he can't just go out if he wants to go out. He ne always needs permission.
Yes, he does need permission. However, I will always give him permission to go outside, and he will always go outside if he needs to, because my dog has the stare of death. If he wants something, he's gonna stare you down until he gets it. So if he's hungry at 7 o'clock, he will stare you down for his dinner. If he needs to go outside, he will be really annoying and stare you down. I literally have a cat in dog form in this dog. I don't even understand how I obtained this animal, because I'm just like, or you physically look like a dog, but you act like a cat. And I can't even touch you because you don't like being touched, so you're not a real dog.
Sam, while we wrap this up, any exciting shows coming up? Any albums you're looking forward to?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of things that I'm super excited for. I am going to see Dayseeker. They're kind of like a metalcore band out in Long Island. They're playing with Windwalkers, which is my latest obsession, and Say6, which is kind of like a pop, like heavy metal duo thing. So that's out in Long Island. I have tickets to go see Jimmy's World do Bleed American, which is like literally my favorite album by them. Fun fact, Sam had an AIM account with the Jimmy's World song title in it. That's how much she loves that album. If fun fact for that. Things like that. I don't have anything crazy when it comes to festivals or any of that happening. I am going on tour with Not Gorgeous and Cross Keys this weekend, so you will be seeing Sam, aka the very influential merch girl, trying to sell you stuff in Alexandria on Friday.
Alexandria, Virginia?
Yeah, I'm going to Virginia, dude.
Home of the USPTO, Sam. Home of the USPTO.
So Cross Keys and Not Gorgeous is playing with American Television at that show, and then they have a show at Banditos in Richmond, Virginia. So I will be down there hanging out. So come to the merch table, you guys, and come say hi to Sam of Punk News, or Sam, the wife of the bassist of Not Gorgeous.
And I will be seeing Sam at Creep Fest, where Not Gorgeous is also playing on night one, I think.
Correct. And you will also be seeing me at your record fair.
At the Philly Record Freakout at Neshaminy Creek Brewing, the 17th of
Yeah.
May.
So c come and buy stuff, records from my floor, my living room floor. I have tons of new stuff in boxes for you guys. So bye, 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 and definitely buy John's stuff.
Bye bye.
Bye.